Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We are continuing our look at the Journal of Discourses, and for the next couple of broadcasts, we're looking at specifically the topic of polygamy. Polygamy is an uncomfortable subject for modern Latter-day Saints. It's very uncomfortable, but yet back in the 19th century, it was being practiced openly, and Mormon leaders were very proud of this practice. As we pointed out, they would say that it went clear back to Adam and Eve, according to one Mormon spokesman attributing Joseph Smith with the teaching that even Adam himself was a practicing polygamist, that he had two wives, one was Lilith and the other was Eve. Whether they had them at the same time or not becomes questionable, because the whole story is questionable, really, when it comes down to it. But anyway, what about Joseph Smith? What about this idea that I mentioned yesterday, that Joseph Smith actually not only practiced polygyny, a man having more than one wife, but also practiced polyandry, which is the idea of a woman having more than one husband? How does that fit in Mormonism? Well, we have a hint of Joseph Smith's polyandry in one of the volumes of Journal of Discourses, Volume 2, page 14. We have a statement from Jedediah M. Grant, who in 1854, in April, was made an apostle, and on that very same day was also a member of the First Presidency under Brigham Young. Mm. So if you want to call him an apostle, call him a member of the First Presidency, either one would probably work, because apparently, according to history, he received both offices on the same day. Regardless, this is what he says.
Well, before that, I got to read page 13, a paragraph here. It said, "If Joseph had a right to dictate me in relation to salvation, in relation to a hereafter, he had a right to dictate me in relation to all my earthly affairs, in relation to the treasures of the earth, and in relation to the earth itself. He had a right to dictate in relation to the cities of the earth, to the natives of the earth, and in relation to everything on land and on sea. That is what he had a right to do, if he had any right at all." So we have to establish the very idea that, according to this apostle member of the First Presidency, that he believed Joseph Smith had a right to these things. Hmm. Then, on page 14, he goes on and says, "What would a man of God say who fell to right when Joseph asked him for his money? He would say, 'Yes, and I wish I had more to help to build up the kingdom of God.' Or if he came and said, 'I want your wife.' 'Oh, yes,' he would say, 'here she is. There are plenty more.'"
Now, we know that Joseph Smith was, in fact, a practicing polygamist. History verifies that fact. If you're a Latter-day Saint and you didn't know that, you need to do some homework on this. It's not that difficult to find out. I am looking at a book by Richard Lyman Bushman called Joseph Smith, Rough Stone Rolling. On page 439, he talks about how Joseph Smith was gathering unto himself several wives, and that as the marriages increased, there were fewer and fewer opportunities for seeing each wife. He goes on to say, "Even so, nothing indicates that sexual relations were left out of plural marriages." He goes on to say, "Not until many years later did anyone claim Joseph Smith's paternity, and evidence for the tiny handful of supposed children is tenuous." Now, why is that an interesting statement? The reason why it's a fascinating statement is because in the Book of Mormon, the only reason that God would ever allow polygamy in the first place would be to raise up seed. If you were to look at Jacob 2 in the Book of Mormon, it talks about David and Solomon truly had many wives and concubines, which thing was abominable before me, saith the Lord. In verse 27, it says, "Wherefore, my brethren, hear me and hearken to the word of the Lord, for there shall not any man among you have save it be one wife and concubines, he shall have none, for I, the Lord God, delight in the chastity of women." In verse 30, it says, "For if I will," here is the one reason why God would change his mind, For if I will, saith the Lord of hosts, raise up seed unto me, I will command my people, otherwise they shall hearken unto these things. The fact that we do not know for sure if Joseph Smith even had children through these relationships makes us wonder, why was he engaging in polygamy in the first place? Second of all, why would he have to marry married women? Now, you have the hint there on that page that you just read, Eric, and this is what Richard L. Bushman says. He says, the marital status of the plural wives further complicated the issue. Within 15 months of marrying Louisa Beeman, Joseph had married 11 other women. 8 of the 11 were married to other men. All told, 10 of Joseph's plural wives were married to other men. All of them went on living with their husbands after marrying the prophet. The reasons for choosing married women can only be surmised. Not all were married to non-Mormon men. 6 of the 10 husbands were active Latter-day Saints. In most cases, the husbands knew of the plural marriage and approved. The practice seems inexplicable today. Why would a husband consent? Well, I think the answer to that question that Mr. Bushman raised is found in the very same sermon by Jedediah M. Grant that you were reading earlier, Eric. And what does he say towards, a couple paragraphs after that statement you read last?
He asked the question, did the prophet Joseph want every man's wife he asked for? He did not, but in that thing was the grand thread of the priesthood developed. The grand object in view was to try the people of God, to see what was in them. If such a man of God should come to me and say, I want your gold and silver, or your wives, I should say, here they are, I wish I had more to give you, take all I have got. A man who has got the Spirit of God and the light of eternity in him has no trouble about such matters.
I think that's the answer. Now, that's not the answer that Richard L. Bushman gives, but I think that is the answer. When you have a man like Joseph Smith wielding the power that he has, you can understand that if he was to give the even slightest impression that to lack spirituality is to disagree or disobey the decree of Joseph Smith, then obviously you would see why a person would want to go along with what Joseph Smith had to say on these issues, as horrible as the request may have been.
I want to make 2 points based on what you've said here, Bill, to add on. I'm going to go with another book called In Sacred Loneliness, The Plural Wives of Joseph Smith by Todd Compton, another Mormon historian. And he agrees that Joseph, it was not just a platonic relationship with these women. Sex was involved. He writes on page 15 at the top of his book, in conclusion, though, it is possible that Joseph had some marriages in which there were no sexual relations. There is no explicit or convincing evidence for this, except perhaps in the cases of the older wives, judging from later Mormon polygamy. And in a significant number of marriages, there is evidence for sexual relations. So number one, I want to point out that according to the historians, there was sexual parts of this happening. It was taking place. Second, Compton adds on another wife, what you just read
right,
from
there
Bushman.
There is a disagreement between him and Bushman.
And he says fully one-third of his wives, of the 33, 11 of them were married civilly to other men when he married them. If one superimposes a chronological perspective, one sees that of Smith's first 12 wives, 9 were polyandrous. 9 out of 11. I mean, he even goes higher. Whether it's 9 or whether it's 11 or whether it's 10, it doesn't matter. He's doing something that the Bible very clearly says in Leviticus you weren't supposed to do.
Well, when Richard L. Bushman asked the question, why would a husband consent? Here's the answer that Richard Bushman gives. He says the only answer seems to be the explanation Joseph gave when he asked a woman for her consent. They and their families would benefit spiritually from a close tie to the prophet. Joseph told a prospective wife that submitting to plural marriage would, quote, ensure your eternal salvation and exaltation and that of your father's household and all your kindred, end quote. A father who gave his daughter to the prophet as a plural wife was assured that the marriage, quote, shall be crowned upon your heads with honor and immortality and eternal life to all your house, both old and young, end quote. The relationship would bear fruit in the afterlife. That is exactly what a false prophet would say.
Well, that happened in Manti with the group there, the TLC church. A guy named Jim Harmston, who was the prophet of that church and his apostles, they would trade around wives and all the rest. The wives would try to go from an apostle up to the prophet if they could, because for the very same reason, it was considered to be advantageous in the spiritual realm for them to marry the higher man.
Well, I tell you, it just makes me cringe when I think about that, but it shows what kind of power Joseph Smith wielded among his followers. Basically unquestioned. You don't question the leadership. It's not quite as bad today, but certainly, again, this is why we're bringing this up. What life was like in 19th century Utah, or 19th century Mormonism, because of course Joseph Smith never got to Utah, but certainly we find this horrendous teachings and ideas being propagated. In Volume 8, what does Brigham Young say about a plurality of wives?
He says this on September 9th, 1860, on page 178. He says, Brother Cannon remarked that people wondered how many wives and children I had. He may inform them that I shall have wives and children by the million, and glory and riches and power and dominion and kingdom after kingdom, and reign triumphantly. He said on page 222, October 21st, 1860, we are complained of for having more wives than one. I don't begin to have as many as I shall have by the end, nor you either, if you are faithful.
It's almost like wives are looked upon as property. How degrading that is. How was that accepted by women in the 19th century? Now, we certainly know that there were many women who had no problem with polygamy in the 19th century. They weren't bothered in the least by statements such as these from Brigham Young and such. But there were also many others who were bothered by polygamy, because we do find in various sermons by Mormon leaders that they are actually complaining about those who complained about polygamy. So there was obviously some dissent that was going on in the 19th century at the time polygamy was flourishing in the territory of Utah. Again, we want to state we're not implying that Mormons believe in polygamy today, at least not in the way it was practiced in the 19th century. Mormons do not believe that you can have more than one living wife at one time, although they do believe that polygamy will be reinstituted in the hereafter. And there are, in fact, right now, three Mormon apostles who are sealed to more than one wife, and certainly do hope that they will have both of those wives in the next life.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Is there not much of a difference between Mormonism and Christianity? Well, actually, despite what many may think, there is. And when it comes to the sensitive and even highly charged issue that is eternal ramifications, the Christian may not know where to turn. Just trying to understand the Mormons' beliefs can be both confusing and frustrating. That's why Mormonism 101 was written, a book resource by Mormonism Research Ministries' Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson that contrasts vital doctrines such as who is God, what is Scripture, and how a person is able to go to heaven. When the two religions are placed side by side, the differences are many. Mormonism 101 is a tool that will help you better understand the doctrines of your Latter-day Saint friend, family member, or co-worker. And it even has witnessing tips available to help you in future conversations. Published by Baker Books, Mormonism 101 is available at mrm.org or ask for it at your favorite Christian bookstore. As 1 Peter 3 says, always be prepared to give an answer.